I'm talking today with Dr. Alison Miller, who's a senior lecturer here at the University of Melbourne in the Centre for Health Equity. She's also a senior research fellow in the Centre for Population Health Research at Deakin Uni. Thanks, Alison, for your time.
No worries. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, you've done some research that's going in the MJA, you and your co-authors, on suicide amongst health professionals.
Yeah. There has been research about 15 years ago on doctor suicide specifically. And that said, that found an elevated rate of suicide, particularly among females. The sort of hypothesis of the authors at the time, and this is done in the UK, is that more women joined medicine then the rates would decline, because they believe that the explanation for higher rates among female doctors was connected to sort of gender role pressure they were under, trying to compete in a masculine dominated occupation at the same time as balancing caring demands, whether that be caring for parents or caring for children or caring for the general home sphere. So that was sort of one of the motivations. Within Australia, there has been a relatively little research done on it. There was a good paper that came from Queensland a few years ago that looked at this, but that obviously didn't look around the whole of Australia. And we specifically wanted to look at the role of access to prescription medications as well, which hasn't been really assessed in the same way that we've done it, to the same level of detail. So those were sort of the overall motivations for doing the study. We use the National Coroner's Information System, which COVR's been going since 2001 and has got relatively good data actually from about 2001 onwards. And within that database, we extracted all suicide cases and coded them by occupational code. So this project sort of sits within a broader area of work that we've got going on, and then I'm leading on occupation and suicide and also looking at access to means.
What were the main results that you came up with?
Well, we found a few things that were that are really important, I think. First of all, we did continue to find an elevated rate of suicide among female medical professionals, female doctors. We also found an elevated rate of suicide among female and male nurses. It was probably surprising to me, actually. We didn't find an elevated rate among male doctors. They were slightly lower, about the same as the general male population. So those were sort of some of the main findings. And then we did find that medical professionals with access to prescription medications had a higher rate of suicide than those medical professionals that didn't have access. So the people that didn't have access are people, things like optometrists, physiotherapists, those sorts of professions. So it really tells us that the access to means is playing a role here, definitely. So it's not just being in a stressful occupation, it's on top of that having access to a lethal means.
The male nurses were particularly vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think's at play there? Is
both males and female nurses had elevated rates of suicide.
Right.
Why male nurses had elevated rates as opposed to the male doctors who didn't, maybe that, I think that's an interesting hypothesis, the fact that these men are placed in an environment that is primarily female dominated. There's only been a very, very small amount of research on that, and it's been qualitative, and it has said that there are a lot of benefits for men working in female-dominated occupations. So they tend to ascend quicker in terms of promotion.
Right.
They tend to have some other advantages as being seen as more productive and things like that. But at the same time, this qualitative study indicated that there was some stress associated with being a male within a female-dominated occupation. But that's probably something that needs to be explored more, I think.
What role do you think, if any, mandatory reporting plays in all of this?
I think that anything that stops people from disclosing suicide or feeling comfortable about the fact they need help is a problem, may play a role. So I do see it as being problematic and potentially contributing. I don't know, because the data can't tell us that. But we know that talking about suicide and being open about mental health issues and suicide is a good thing in order to allow people to seek help. So I do think that this is probably something that needs to be addressed as well.
You conclude that there needs to be some targeted approaches to this. Do you have anything specific in mind?
Well, I think we need to understand more about the conditions in which health professionals are working.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand more about pressures that are put on them as health providers. So working hours, we need to understand more about if we can do something to reduce job demands and job control. Because there's a wide body of literature that says if we improve the working conditions in which people are placed, their health will improve. So this is not a new area. This is something that can be addressed. With regarding gender, we need to understand if these sort of risks within the workplace are differential. So whether an environment that's good for men may not be as good for women, and what we can do to address that. I don't think that females females are not going to stop being doctors. So we do need to move forward and address this in some way. I know that there has been some work done on bullying, and there has been some work done on discrimination within the medical profession. Obviously, yes. I don't think that's enough, and we need to go further to understand what's underlying these things. What are the structural factors underlying bullying and discrimination within a workplace? It tends to be connected to factors in the workplace, such as the demands of the job, how much control people feel they have over it, how supportive their colleagues are, how, if they feel they are rewarded for the effort that they're putting in, things like this that are wider sort of psychosocial determinants of a workplace. There has been guidelines put out for workplace suicide prevention, particularly by the World Health Organization, and they specifically highlight the importance of working factors and addressing these as the causes, or modifiable causes, of mental health problems and suicidality. So we should begin there. At the same time, we should be looking at ways, encouraging people to go along and understand more about mental health and suicidality, try and break down stigma and provide avenues for people to seek help should they need it, and also rehabilitation, which is the other big thing. So if somebody leaves due to suicide ideation, a suicide attempt or mental health problems, they should be able to be rehabilitated and in a way that is acceptable for them and makes them feel okay about being back at work. There's a lot of pressures put on health professionals, not only to be the carers, but also they are increasingly, you know, there's been a lot of said about GPs providing suicide prevention services, being the first port of call for mental health problems in the community. So there's a lot of pressures there. And if we want to be able to have our medical professionals doing their job effectively, we need to look after them as well.
Thank you for your time.
No worries. Thank you.